Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
And he ran a 3:59.99 to break the 4-minute mile. And it's been broken hundreds of times since then. But when you're the first, it was a whole revelation. I mean, I was alive when that happened.
That makes you old.
Yo, yeah.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sell or Die podcast, the global premier personal development and sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling and my newest book, The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. We are interviewing leaders in business, sales, and personal development to give you the strategies it takes to make more sales and make more money.
Strategies that you can take out into the street and turn into money 1 minute after you hear them.
In a manifesto moment?
Well, no, more like in a New York Minute.
Oh, Jen. Thank you to all the diehards out there supporting us with listens and 5-star reviews.
Be a star on Sell or Die. Leave your own review. Come on. Go to your computer right now. Go to iTunes right now and write down, type down, talk down exactly how you feel about this podcast and how it might affect others.
All right. I want you to enjoy today's show. Take notes and tell us what you think on our Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group.
All right, let's get to it. It's time to sell or die.
Scott, Jeffrey mentioned we don't know a lot about you, but you've come highly recommended and we are super stoked to learn more. So tell us, what got you started in selling?
Yeah, so what got me started in selling, I started my first company when I was 19. And for Breaking Bad fans, the name of that company was Gray Matter Technologies. unfortunately, I had sold the company before I moved to Austin, so no rights to that. I don't have any claim on the name. But, you know, it's funny. When you start a company, it turns out you don't really have a company unless you have clients. And you don't get clients unless you figure out how to sell. So it was very much trial by fire. And I learned very quickly and have done pretty well. And since moving to Austin, so I ran that company for 5 years, sold it. And we basically cashed out of Orange County, California in, 2004. And when I moved to Austin, I decided, you know what, running a company is fun, but there's a lot of parts of that I don't enjoy. You know what I love? I love selling. And so I've really been focused on that in more traditional professional selling roles ever since.
But thinking about your company name, I don't know that you exploited it the way you could have. I mean, come on. We're using our gray matter to make green matter.
There you go. There you go.
Ooh, I like that.
And you left the vast wasteland where you know the top of the 405 when you can see headlights coming one way and taillights going the other way as long as the eye can see. That's my favorite part of Orange County.
I used to live within a half mile of the 405, and it confounded me. I couldn't understand how are there 8 lanes going the same direction and none of them moving?
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's totally nuts.
And you have In-N-Out Burger.
Well, yeah, we got that in Austin too now, though. They've branched out.
They're moving closer and closer to us. They ain't in North Carolina yet. No. So, Scott, you started this company and you sort of realized, okay, I either have to sell or the company dies, hence our podcast name, Sell or Die.
There you go.
And I'm curious to learn, like, what are some of the major breakthroughs or selling moments that you had that, you know, really made you realize that you're a salesperson?
You know, I think we overcomplicate sales and we overthink sales, right? At the end of the day, it's really just about having conversations and figuring out how to tell how to help people.
Right. I agree. I totally agree.
Any more complicated than that, right? So, you know, it was just, I think it's getting comfortable with that and getting over the fear of, you know, picking up the phone and doing the hard prospecting work. But, you know, when your underlying belief is, I know I'm going to be able to help, I know I'm going to be able to make the green matter for this company, then you're compelled to reach out and do those uncomfortable things to help those folks on the other end.
So when you're doing these interviews with these top salespersons, and selling is simple, why does it take 75 minutes to get to the answers?
Well, you know what? I'm really interested in the stories. You know, what's interesting is, having done over 70 of these interviews at this point, you know, there's no secrets. There's no magic formula or anything like that. But I think what there is there's inspiration and just understanding in what does it really look like in the real world with all of the distractions and other things that are coming at us. It helps to see that in a variety of forms. And one thing that's come up here pretty frequently, even amongst the folks who have been on that show, is there's kind of like this Roger Bannister effect, right? Like, I have to see somebody do it before I can believe that, oh, wait.
It can be done.
Yeah, for
really
sure.
Really big things are possible, right? So it's really about that, right? It's helping people see the real best of the best and getting out of all the cliches and all the garbage we see in movies and stuff that's not sales, that's not real, true, professional, valuable sales the way that you guys teach it.
But keep in mind that when Roger Bannister was breaking the 4-minute mile, for those of you who are millennials and have no fucking idea who Roger Bannister is or was, he was the first person to break the 4-minute mile. But if you listen to his talk about how it occurred, he basically used the force. It's the force, Luke. Use the force. And he recognized when he's coming around the bend, he didn't even, he like went back into his own body and just went for it. And he ran a 3:59.99 to break the 4-minute mile. And it's been broken hundreds of times since then. But when you're the first, it was a whole revelation. I mean, I was alive when that happened.
That makes you old.
Yo, yeah. But I can tell you, it was headline after headline after headline, interview after interview after interview. I mean, he was absolutely the world-class athlete of his time.
That's cool. So, Scott, how did you know it was time to transition into podcasting?
You know, that's funny. It kind of came to me. I had an idea years and years and years ago. I'll give you the whole origin story here. I went to an event here in Austin called Austin Under 40. And what they do is they take, you know, top young professionals, they carve it up into a bunch of different categories, right? So you've got healthcare and lawyers and nonprofit folks and all of this stuff. And so you end up with, you know, call it 10 categories and 5 finalists in every category. So you've got 50 different finalists and they all bring their friends and family and poof, they have this fundraising event that raises a ton of money because 1,000 people show up. You know, at $100, $150 a pop. And I thought, holy cows, this is genius. Sales needs this, right? Sales needs this because the top performers across industries and across companies are, they're known inside their company, right? And they may be recognized as heroes there. But beyond that, maybe a few people know them in the industry. Beyond that, they're invisible. And you look at the impact they're making, and it's huge. And I was like, you know what? We can recognize these folks, which is another missing piece in sales, right? Salespeople, our wiring is so simple, right? I have 2 buttons. I have a cash button, and I have a recognition button. We all like that cash button to be pressed, but that recognition button is pretty big and pretty lonely, right? And there's not a lot of pressing of that. But ultimately, the whole reason I had that vision, I just wanted to get to the stories of, how'd you do it? What are you doing? And so when I got into podcasts a number of years ago, just listening to them, I thought, wait a minute, I don't have to go build this crazy, like super ambitious event. I can just start having the conversations now, and I can get to the heart of what I'm most interested in. I'm a quota carrying sales guy myself. I just want to connect with other folks that are crushing it and just say, what are you doing? We can always learn little things from what they're doing. So that's how it came about. Now I've been doing it for over 2.5 years and loving every minute.
Way to go. I love
and
that.
Keep in mind that that sales guy who you claim may be only be known in his own company may have left another company as the number one sales guy and gone to, like, the Dell guy might have gone to Microsoft. And all of a sudden, there's a rumor that, you know, and this guy becomes well-known because he jumped, not necessarily well-known because he's a great salesperson. And it happens in banks literally all the time, ad agencies all the time, personnel agencies all the time. These guys are jumpers for money.
Yeah.
Or jumpers because they, quote, someone changed the comp plan and basically fucked the guy out of a lot of money. And so he got pissed off and left. They lose all kinds of great people because, quote, they're making too much money.
Oh, I see it all. You have to imagine I see it all the time amongst this network that I've developed. I mean, I just talked to a guy with, you know, one of the largest technology companies in the world that's been on the show. I mean, a guy who's done multiple deals worth $50 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, they basically, it doesn't look like it on paper, but once you peel the onion back, they basically tripled his number this year.
Whoa.
He's like, you know what? I don't need to be here. Right. I can do what I do for
anywhere.
Lots of different organizations.
Right. How do these people, it never ceases to amaze me that accounting will come up with, we're going to increase sales this year 11.5%. They pull that number out of their ass. They have no rhyme or reason for doing it other than we think we can make this number. And then they put pressure on their salespeople to, quote, make the number by reducing their territory and reducing their compensation.
In my 20s, I was asked to come up with the number that all three of our sales teams would have to hit, which I had no idea how to do, right? I was like Googling, how do you even come up with this? And it's like throwing darts at a dartboard.
Oh, yeah.
Like they had a 20-something-year-old in charge of it for a public company. That's crazy town.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? It's so impactful, right? Yeah. And this is why we're seeing, I think the stats that I keep seeing are basically the majority. Over 50% of salespeople aren't making that made-up number. Well, there's something wrong there, right?
We
can't all be duds, right? There's only two ways that can explain that. Either the number is wrong or the majority of salespeople suck. Well, which is it?
It's a
Maybe
combo.
It's, both.
It's a combo. I will tell you this. Let me just share this one story. You can make it a complex sale. If you look at the car business, there are 100 trainers out there telling you how to sell more cars. Is that a fair number?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah, and they all look exactly the same. They all have painted fingernails and big rings with diamonds in them. They've all sold 10,000 cars. They have shit veneers for teeth. And they come on the stage and they say, if I can do it, you can do it. Have you ever heard of those people?
By the way, I think it's actually their real teeth.
Oh, that could be. See, that's a problem. Okay. But I'm going to share something with you about how uncomplicated car sales are. I did training for Lexus. I own a Lexus. And I met a salesperson there about 15 years ago. His name is Richie. That's his real name. Richie was the number one salesperson at the Lexus dealership for 10 years, every month. How did he do that? What was the complexity behind that program? Richie woke up in the morning, drove his car to a customer's house, dropped it off, picked up their car, brought it in for service, and at the end of the day, brought the car back to the customer and went home. And he did that every day for 10 years. Now think about this, how complex that was. Half the people that came to Hendrick Lexus said, is Richie there? Because they wanted the same service. He had more referrals than anybody times 100. He had more sales than anybody times 10. And all he did was pick his ass up a little earlier, go to his customer's house, pick their car up, bring it in for service, bring it back at the end of the day, done.
Yeah. And that's it. It's not monumental shifts.
These people who are teaching car salespeople how to sell cars are fucking morons. And they think that it's all about the clothes and the way you question somebody. No, it's about how you kiss people's asses.
So what are some of the trends that you're seeing? Because you talk to the best of the best. So what do you see are the commonalities between the best salespeople out there?
Yeah. So, you know, to Jeffrey's point, it's basic, straightforward stuff, right? So the opening question that I always lead every conversation with is, what are the top three things that you believe have contributed most to your success? And I recently took all of those statements through all of the interviews and threw them into a word cloud so that you could just sort of see visually what were those most consistent statements. You know what they were? They were hard work, focus, relationships, right? It's really basic stuff. I mean, here's the way I think about it. I mean, it's the order of operations is basically hard work is a given, right? If you are not going to bust your ass and work super hard, then you're never going to be number one. There's no, oh, I worked smarter way to the top, right? You have got to work hard.
No, I'm working the 4-hour work week.
Not as a salesperson.
No, you're definitely not. So, you know, and I think it really, really starts with belief and passion. If you don't believe in what you're selling and the difference that it can make for your customer, you can't be at the top. You can't fake that. Otherwise, it's called like manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's got to be real. You've got to feel it in your heart and in your guts and whatever else is inside of you, right? You've got to have that, right? And then, you know, relationships are another huge piece. And with relationships, I will say that it's not just the relationships that you have with your clients. It's not the quote unquote Rolodex, which is amazing. We still refer to that because I haven't seen a Rolodex in, I don't know, 15 years. I'd have to ask Jeffrey. Jeffrey, maybe you can explain to us what the hell a Rolodex was.
It was a bunch of pieces of paper stuck on a thing that rolls around, and it had people's names and numbers on it because there was no computers.
My friend posted one in her Instagram story.
I have one. I got a couple of them
yesterday, she was like, is it time to shred these?
No, it's never time to shred those. Those things are valuable.
Jeffrey, you save everything.
Right. I have a couple of Rolodexes that are totally chocked full of everything. And the most interesting part about the Rolodex is, at one point in time, that was my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was it. And no, put it a different way. At one point in time, I had a flip phone that could only take 25 numbers. And so if I wanted the 26th number, I had to drop somebody. I mean, it was absolutely crazy how the world of technology has usurped literally everything that used to get in the way. And now nothing is in the way and salespeople are pissing and moaning.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how we survived before. I mean, maybe people didn't change jobs as frequently back in the day, but I don't know what we did before LinkedIn, you know, that told me, you know, that person I did business with two companies ago, I know right where they are right now. But when it comes to those relationships, it's not just that. It's not just who can I reach out to and who's in a position that they can do business with me. It's also the relationships that you have with the other people in your company who actually deliver what you're promising. Right. And so when it comes time to building the solution and you're working with solutions engineers or you're working with the product team or you're working with marketing, all of those relationships matter so much. And you know what else really matters is the mentors. It's who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. It's whose voices you have in your head, who's impacting the way you think. And that has, you know, I promise you the best of the best are not surrounded by a bunch of weenies who are bitching and moaning about my quota is too big.
Right, exactly. So at some point, people are inspired by someone and that inspiration carries them through. It's not a motivation, it's an inspiration. Your high school gym teacher, maybe your track coach or college professor, and then finally a boss or a leader or a manager or a CEO inspires you to a point where they never forget it. Like I have 10 things in my head that my mentors have said to me that I will always use and never forget.
What's your favorite one of those? I'm sure you say it a lot, but you, sure. I got to ask.
Hard work makes luck.
Love it.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
So I want to go back to the LinkedIn Rolodex kind of idea. And it got me thinking about trends in technology. What are some of the biggest trends you're seeing across the salespeople that you interview and the tech that they're adopting and tech they're finding most useful?
You know what? I'm going to go so counter to what everybody else is talking about. This is, I think, the real trend among the best of the best is less tech. I think so much of the tech has become so much of a distraction. In fact, I discovered this by accident. I thought I was on a complete island because I intentionally disabled my Facebook account about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. I found it to be, maybe an addictive, ultra competitive type of personality. And Facebook was playing a game with me that I couldn't win. And it was just, it was taking up too much of my time. So I turned it off. And I found that a lot of other people are in that mode. And, you know, I'm always asking about kind of the tools and apps that people are using. And I'm finding a lot of a notebook and a pen and a calendar. You know, it's really back to basics kind of stuff and getting away from the technology that's just pulling you in directions that make you feel like you're productive, but you're not. You know, so there are, LinkedIn's probably been mentioned in every episode. I mean, that LinkedIn is a core valuable tool. Again, if you use it as a tool and you don't let it draw you too deeply into the pit of distraction. So that's a really valuable tool. And I think that there are other ways that you can sort of maximize the different channels that are out there. So tools like Vidyard's Go Video, right? Being able to more humanize the sales process, right? I think we're getting away, hopefully, from this quantity approach where we've basically trained everybody in the universe not to pick up the phone unless you recognize the number. Right. And yeah, you've got to make it real and make it human. I got a great, great tip. I mean, one of my favorite sets of people that I interview on the podcast is folks that are in sales development rep roles, right, where they're spending 100% of their time prospecting and generating meetings. And Florin Tatulia shared a great tip on there. He said, look, the way that I treat a voicemail, like the number of people that call me back from a voicemail is like 1%. It barely exists. So instead, I use the voicemail to humanize myself and create a call to action that is the email, right? I've emailed them and now I can direct them back to that email, because the easiest thing for them to do, rather than pick up the phone and, oh my God, push all those buttons, is just hit reply to that email. So that's what he asks them to do. You know, yeah, hey, I'm Florin. I left you this message. Really would love to hear from you. If you want to pull up that email and just hit reply, and he gets a great response rate, right?
So that's great. I like that.
You have to adapt, yeah, to the way that the channels are evolving, but you can't be consumed by them.
Look at our relationship right now. We didn't know each other from Adam's house cat, but because we have Zoomed.
Yeah.
And we can see each other. I can see your passion.
It feels more human, for
I can
sure.
I can see your Austin flag. It immediately created. It's your map, but it created connection.
For sure.
And so we humanized our conversation literally from minute one, where you talked about Austin and what's happened over the past three decades, and how that has brought you to where you are right now. And then we can begin. I don't like talking to anybody unless I know them.
I hear this a lot, like what you were talking about how we get sucked into social media and we get like sucked into the scroll with Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And I'm curious as to how you use LinkedIn in a productive way versus a competitive, lost in that battle kind of way.
Yeah, you know, LinkedIn is, again, I use it as a tool to serve me. So typically what I'm doing on LinkedIn is I'm either starting my prep for a conversation there, right? I want to go look because most that seems to be, especially in just the B2B world, that seems to be the social network that is the most ubiquitous, that is the most up to speed. I mean, a lot of times I go to look at somebody's Twitter and they haven't posted since 2016.
Or they have nine followers and they don't really make a difference. And that tells you something right there, by the way.
Absolutely. Sure. Sure. But again, so from a LinkedIn perspective, it's being intentional about it, right? So using it for prep, using it for research, using it to understand, hey, who else do they know that I know that we can bring into that conversation? It's really, again, it's a tool to humanize. What do they care about? What are they commenting on? Did they write an article about something? Because anytime you can mention those things and reference those things, they care. If they took time to put keys to paper and generate some content, they have an opinion about that. And it's just an easy button to press. Right. And I post a little bit, but it's, you know, again, I think you have to be judicious in the feed and just kind of limit the time that you're spending there.
And what do you do with people that have 284 contacts?
You know, it depends. You know, if it's somebody that I can work with and that's just their situation, that is what it is. I might ask him about it. But, you know, any of us that have been on that platform for any length of time, I mean, gosh, if you're in sales and you're not just by nature of the conversations you're having, accumulating a few hundred connections a year, I don't know what you're doing.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They try to make it egalitarian with the number 500.
Right.
Like, you don't know who's got 50, you know, 10,000, who's got 504, but 500 is the number. 500 means I'm playing the game, or 501.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I will say this, and I finally took the time to, speaking of taking the time to write something on LinkedIn, I really sort of dumped my philosophy out on there on LinkedIn, because the way that I use LinkedIn, and I might be missing the boat, I'm still kind of evaluating this view. I only connect with people that I have some type of actual relationship with. And the reason I do that, because I don't treat it as just this giant audience that I'm trying to reach. That's my network. And Jen, if you reach out to me and say, hey, Scott, can you introduce me to Jeff Bajorek? And you see that we are connected, I better damn well be in a position to make that introduction. Not, well, I don't actually know. I don't know who Jeff is. I
By the way, he's a great guy.
All the time. Yeah, he is a great
Absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been to his house. So there.
Very.
He's a really, really, really nice person.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And he'll Love listen to dude. This and blush. So where's your book?
Where's the book? So there are two of them. The first book, and this came out of the podcast. I was at a conference in Las Vegas, found a guy, incredible story. His name was Robbie Siegel. And Robbie had spent 10 years as a VP of sales, decided that he was spending too much time with his just in the field and traveling and everything else, wanted to spend more time with his family, a territory opened up in his backyard. And he said, you know what? I'm going to hang up this sales leader hat. I'm going to go pick up the bag in that territory. And within 2 years, he was the number one guy out of about 200 sellers, like proving to himself that, hey, all this stuff that I've been preaching and telling y'all to do actually freaking works.
Yeah.
And when I told him sort of the vision behind this podcast and the fact that, you know, I read so many sales books and I get great value from them, but I want to hear from people who are actually doing it. He said, Scott, guys like us are never going to write sales books. We are too busy selling. And I took that on as a personal challenge. I thought, you know, if I can make this a light enough lift for these guys, and these gals, right? So that many hands make light work, we can produce that book. So the result of that challenge is a book called Sales Success Stories. It's 60 stories from 20 top 1% sales professionals. And they were all written specifically for the book. You know, a lot of people think, oh, Scott, you just took like transcripts from the podcast and tried to do that. That does not work. The way people talk looks like garbage on a page, right? So there's 60 real deep stories. And again, this isn't the preaching. These are the things that I've done. This is what has resulted in success for me that we can take inspiration from and take lessons from. And then I created sort of a shorter version because we're working on volume 2 of that book. So there's kind of a teaser book called B2B Sales Mentors that has 10 of those stories from the first book, and it has 10 preview stories from that upcoming book. So if 300 pages intimidates you and a $10 ebook is too much, then I've got it's a little over 100 pages.
Oh my God.
And you can buy it online for like $1.99.
Guys, go get the book. We're going to put the link in the show notes. So, way to go. That's awesome.
I was a member of the National Speakers Association for 25 years, so I finally got fed up with it. And the mantra inside the National Speakers Association is have your speech transcribed and turn it into a book. So I gave a speech about 15 years ago on the bullshit of that. I called it the facts and fiction and nonfiction of book publishing. And I said, you know, everyone will tell you, get your speech transcribed and turn it into a book. And I'm going to tell you, your speech ain't that good. And that drew like the loudest laughter I've ever heard among those people. But there's a lot of...
Is that the laughter of recognition and
there's
truth?
There's a lot of truth in humor. I'll just say that.
Yep.
And you have, you know, when you have somebody is trying to clarify their number one status, it's not that easy for them. They don't think about it. They're working their ass off. They're getting rejected. They're getting accepted. They're too busy to delineate their process.
Yeah.
You had to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Before we go, I'm curious to know what's next for the podcast.
You know, we're just going to keep doing it. You know, there are way more many. Good job, Scott. There are a lot more people who are number one. I mean, every year. I mean, interestingly, they don't change very much, right? Top performers are top performers. Wherever they are, there's a lot of consistency in the organization. I just talked to a woman. She's been number one for 16 years, ever since she got out of college in the same company, right? Huh. So we're going to keep having these conversations. But what I have done is created the Sales Success Summit, right? Because again, it's one thing to hear these folks and it's another thing to read what they're saying. It's a whole nother level to be in the same room and to have a conversation and to be able to ask your own follow-up question.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.